Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Exodus 20, 1 to 3. And then I'm going to teach very briefly, very lovely message. You've never heard it like this before. You know, when you go to the hospital and they give you very strong pills, most of the time they just condense it and tell you use two. It's when you swallow it, you will know why they said use two. So, some of these drugs, they do something to you. You just sit down. When they tell you, they sue you, I say you don't want it. The thing has done something to your taste buds. Okay, so this is one of those messages. Amen. Are you excited? Okay, get ready. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. And God spoke. Hey, wait a minute. Do you have New Living Translation? What other New American? Because somebody told me I need to work on my accent, you know, that they don't understand me when I'm talking. I say, okay, get me a simpler version. I've been having issues with King James of late, actually. We are trying to sort it out. But the guy is dead. So. Okay, let's try this one. 1, 2, go. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods beside me. Give me King James Version for verse 3. KJV, quickly. Now let's read this one together. Thou shalt have no gods, no other gods before me. Now, where did God place those gods? Before. Not besides. Not behind. They are not gods until they become your first option. Did you hear that one? Sit down, sit down. Let's swallow this pill together. I titled this message, Dealing with Idols. Somebody has been wondering what happened to pastors since he came back from Benin. He just, I gave my life to Christ while I was in Benin. Amen. So, I had some time to think about my life. You know, there was a day it rained so hard in Benin City. And I was in my hotel room, very good hotel. The restroom in that hotel is as big as this podium. Gorgeous, this bathtub, you know, can just lazy around. If that's what you came to do on earth, you should try one of those them jacuzzis. They change the way you think. You know, it's just amazing that in advanced countries they don't think buckets when they go into the restroom. It just happened. I discovered that. Really, whoever invented, it's an African thing. You get to your hotel in the UK, you are looking for the bucket. Come on, bro. You got to step it up. You know, for the first time, I just realized I wasn't looking. Oh, my God. I said, God, you need something. You brought me here to learn this one. It is working. Chai. God is, they weren't managing the space. And my Benin people, I want to congratulate you. You people are doing very well. Except that by 6 p.m., there's nobody on the streets. Dead silence. And I was finishing my meetings 9 p.m., 10 p.m., preaching. Going back to my hotel room in the darkness. So that day it rained. And then I now put on the AC. And I was watching the waters from, you know, the rain just. I was cool, but I was alone. I didn't try. When I'm coming back, I'm coming back with my wife. Nobody to say, oh, can we have some? Can we have some cookies? Can we have some? Just two adults, you know. Well, I don't know those who convince themselves about poverty. I don't know how they do it, but I'm out. I'm not your member no more. Not a member no more. I'm done with that thing. You can't even walk on this street and you want to walk on the streets of gold. Come on, brother, you got to step it up. Streets of gold. You know what I'm talking about here? Gold. Just I say, okay, walk on it. Say, no, I'm humble. One of those things, they just cut it in heaven, cut it. You know the way your roads have quota, they just cut it and give you, take to Nigeria. You won't walk again. Be looking for political office. Okay. You know, this message is very bitter, so I want to add some things so that you won't throw it up, because we bought the drug, it's 4,000 naira. And when you are giving your children some of those things, it's not a matter of force. You have to appeal to them. No, just take it. You're going to, because if you throw away this thing, this one is 4,000. No, if you spit it out, if you spit it. So this is a bitter one. But tell your neighbor, I can handle it. You said so, not me. You have signed the contract now, so I will start preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Even when Daniel has to sit and watch his friends go into the fire, we know our God reigns. Look at that. Therefore, my dear friends, give me KJV on this one. Let's see if we can manage KJV. Therefore, my beloved, I think it should be my beloved, flee from idolatry, flee from idols. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. See, my job is to do a good job with a very bad message. So, after now, please say hello and send me a text message. There was a day I preached in this church. A day. I will never forget that day. After I preached in that service, nobody, everybody just cleared. I'm telling you, I was inside. I said, who wants to see him? They say nobody. I say, what? Jesus. I said, I was afraid. I said, we have scattered this church. I said, we have scattered this church. What did I say? Everybody just cleared. It's like they were. I say, it's next Sunday we will know if we are still in business. Nobody called me that week. Pastor, something is doing me. I rested. The next time people came, I said, are you guys? Jai. Look at this one. Verse 21. My little children. One of the targets of idols are your children. Yeah. Yeah. What did he say to do about children? Keep yourself. What did he say in 1 Corinthians 10:14? He said what? Flee. But to the children, he said what? There's a difference. Different strategies. The issue of idol is a very serious matter. In fact, when God was giving us the Ten Commandments, that was the first thing he said. Some people are quick to put away the Ten Commandments because it addresses their vanity. Another word for idols is vanity. And you should put that down. Have you ever woken up like, this weekend I just want to you know, I just want to flex. I just want to go out and have fun. There's one song I saw, you know, it was a clip of a short video, Sophia. I can't keep myself. Allow me to flex. So I was there, and I used to play it. I wanted to see the revelation in that, you know. Allow me to flex. There are sometimes just wake up like, let's go out today. And let's have some fun. Like a pastor don't mean you don't have no fun. Most people that don't like having fun is a money problem. It's not a revelation problem. Some people like to tell you it's because they have an encounter with God. They need to be looking up to Jesus. Brother, how much you got in that account? It's not a revelation issue. It's a money problem. When you have money and you refuse to flex, then I know you're serious. But right now, we're still watching you. Want to know. We want to know how many idols you have. The issue of idols is very serious for God. And you know, in those days, in ancient times, those idols are usually very small. They are very, some of them are even very handy. Some of them can put them in your pocket. As I mean, I can put it in my suit. And I'll just come and say, hallelujah. But I'm shouting earlier to some tears. You know, some of those are, you can put it in your breast. So I say, my heart, it belongs to you. It belongs. What was that song? Damita Adam. Say, my heart, my soul, it belongs to you. But there's something there. There's a picture there. There's some girl out there. The thing is not in your breast pocket, it's in your heart. You understand? So we are talking about serious stuff here. This generation, one of the battles that this generation behind us, the generation of our children, for which we are laying the foundation now, the battles they will fight will be the battles of idols. So you have to be deliberate. The idols are on your street. They are in your TV screen. Because when you come to my house and you find that curved screen, say amen. I don't even like my glasses. You know, it's really cool. Really cool. So. It's vanity. All is vanity. They are lighter than vanity. You know, I saw something up when I went to pick up my glasses. And then the guy said, you try it on. I felt so vain. The moment I wore it, I said, wow. There was some girl beside me. The girl looked at me. And asked, you know, give me the mirror. I stood in front of the mirror. I said, wow. I said, so this is what those ladies go through. When you wear a nice dress, and you have this hair, you take a picture. You do something. You look for a flower. You do something. All this thing about idol that I'm saying. Some of you are just waiting to go downstairs and take a picture again. When I got home, I told myself, I just went. I walked into the kitchen. My daughter said, daddy likes shakara. When she said, I said, yes. You would think because I'm a spiritual man, I don't know Faji. Now, some of you are smiling. You see, we all have idols. You know, that's the bling, the cameras. We like it. So, I didn't know how terrible my last pair of glasses was. I didn't know until I wore this one. Yeah? You see, idols are subtle. They don't come in as idols. They come in as your friends. They come in as things you like. They come in as things you celebrate. They come in as things that are supposed to enhance your life. Before the guy breaks up with you, he just sees you with this new air. What's that air you are? Come talk about it. Anita Baker. The guy just said, he came to break up. Oh, he just sees you. So I just believe we can work out all our differences. I'm telling you. Don't let no guy shut you down. There's one here that, what's her name? Folakemi. I had to call her, is this your hair? Is this your real hair? Because I don't understand. He said, no, that is something. So idols are not, they don't come in and say, we are here to take over. No, they are your friends. But it's a big deal for God, though. God doesn't share. Among all the vices in the world, vices, there's only one that God has. You know what vices are? Bad things. It's called jealousy. And even him admitted, say he has it. It's not only men that can't share their wives. She knows. Come, we had a conversation. No, we're always talking. If I'm married to you, I say, ah, that guy is fine. Yeah, we are going to have a conversation though. How can we say someone is fine beside me? Don't try this until you're at least 10 years old in your marriage. If not, your husband will just be dragging to a pastor. Warn her. Idols have great impact in our lives. They draw some of their great authority and strength from ignorance. And I want you to note these things. Idols don't come in as your enemies. They are usually things that have a safe boundary. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 10:14. Say, therefore, wherefore my... go to verse 13. Verse 13. Quickly. Is he hanging? There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But with the temptation we also do what? Make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, in this verse, what God first established is the subject of temptation. That if you are truly a child of God, you will have to deal with temptations. So God didn't say, oh, you'll get to a level and you will not, maybe if you think you get married and you won't like another woman. That was the first road, the order you will jump. Because after you marry, you get married. Now see, so it's like, Marian, where have you been? Wow. You now realize that, then you now, that's the day your wife chooses not to wear makeup. There's one song I heard on Instagram. It said, I don't tell her, it don't happen. Motor don't jam her, it don't happen. So I used to play it. So I tell her, no marry that woman. Because now Mary is like bling bling. She decided to look like that to punish you for making it, for leaving her. So God says that there is no, that you are not, you are strong, you don't fall for temptation. That's not what we are talking about. God is saying here that where, no matter your level, in fact, promotion is determined by the kind of temptations. Promotion in the spirit realm. So some of you are very happy that you've not been facing any temptation. You are repeating class. When God wants to move you forward, he brings a test. He said, but he is faithful. So he benchmarks is the temptation with his faithfulness. Then beside the faithfulness, he opens a door of escape. So when you are faced with temptation, if you look at how you are going to, if you are considering how you are going to overcome it, you will fail. But if you search for God in the midst of that temptation, then you will now see through God the way of escape. You didn't hear that one. When you are faced with temptation, stop thinking of how to run. Find where God is around you. That's what God is saying. God, there are things that you will face. There are things you will go through. My brother is going to take God. He's going to take God coming from his throne to pull you out because you are gone. Let me share this one with you because I've overcome the temptation. I got an offer to apply to Stanford University. You know Stanford University? You know, some of you don't know Stanford University. It's somewhere in the U.S. That's why I feel bad when some of you are dealing with issues like your pastor is one prophet on the mountain. I went to school. Seriously, I have a degree. So I got this offer at Stanford University. It's one of the top 10 universities in the world. Full scholarship for PhD. I'll be gone for 3 years. They'll even give me monthly allowance. You know what I'm saying? In dollars. But they just want me to sign that after 3 years, I'll come back to Nigeria. as well. Me that I want to start church in Stanford. So I told Pastor David, can I go? He said, yes, Pastor. I said, 3 years though. By the time I come back, so praise God, how you guys doing? It's been a while. Hallelujah. Say, eh? Pastor, is this what you brought back from America? Then I asked my wife, can I go? She said, yes. I said, these people, they want to kill me. But actually, I started enjoying, and I went online, checked the campus. You know, I said, wow. You see, it's not a bad thing. It's people like me that go to Stanford. The idea is good. And I won't pay one kobo. We're going to do revival. Stanford. Now, this is the issue I want you to grab. Every time God refrains you from holding on to something, just know that a time will come, he will give you everything back. It's not a wicked God. Maybe 15 years from now, I may go back to that Stanford. But maybe not for PhD. Start a church, the harvest of whether watching me live from Nigeria, watching me live from South Africa or from Asia. I am your pastor, your friend. Here, live on River Hill Mountain, the Harvest of the Assembly, Memphis, Texas. I was just like, wow. Say, I know that pastor. You don't know me. We move. You know what I'm saying? I now call the brother. His name is Dr. Komo. You know, Komo is a man of the spirit. He doesn't lie. So I told him, I said, oh, you know, Komo, I got this offer, full scholarship for PhD. He just looked, you know, it's like he spoke by the spirit. He said, but you know, you can't come. You know, Komo, I've known Komo since he was in secondary school. You know Komo, some of you know Komo in this church before I left for the UK. Komo is like my brother, like my baby brother. When I was in Ife doing my master's, Komo was always in my room. Great guy. Such a very honorable person. He has never spoken to me the way he spoke that day, and I was so upset. Komo said, he didn't say, sir, he just said, but you know you can't come. The way he spoke, that's the way God talks to me. But you know you can't come. I said, it's true. It's true, I can't come. I just said, I agreed before I even realized what I was saying. He said, so have you applied for the... I said, what's Stanford? What's Stanford? What happened to you in the lab? When you are faced with a temptation, don't look for how to escape. Find God first. The way of escape is in the discovery of where God is. That's why people fall. Hey, God. You know anything that involves Cassandra, I cannot survive. So this is where they finally caught me. You are making a big mistake. When you are faced with temptation, what do you look for? You find where God is, because God is not far from that place. He's the invigilator. And invigilator doesn't talk. But if you look very well, you will see signals around you telling you this is the way of escape. That way of escape may not even look like it. Let me rush. If I don't finish this message, I'll continue some other time. Apostle Paul instructs us that... No, before I go to Paul, read Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. You see, I was talking to you about the issue of abounding knowledge. And one of the major strengths of idols is knowledge. When they know something you don't know, they use it against you. You know, even demons work that way. They collect information about your family. They collect information about you. They know the kind of, over time, they know the kind of guy that you like. They've watched you, you know. They watch you. You watch Netflix, but they watch you. They watch you. They look at you. They know you like this kind of thing. They know that even when you pray and fast, it's always this kind of people God is leading you to. They know. They watch you. So they are super intelligent. Not because they are spirits, but because they are observant. Do you understand what I just said? So sometimes, do something out of the usual. Confuse them. You don't always have to go through CMS. No, go through Todd Milan. But thou, O Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book. Even to the end. Why? Because many will run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Let's not release this wisdom. Because one of the strengths of idols are information, knowledge. So seal this one. Not every time you have a vision, you just throw it out there. God spoke to me, God spoke to me. They are collecting data on you. My daughter was beside me. She was talking about something. And I just turned on my tab. They were already advertising the same thing to me. There's this thing they do now. They just pick your words. Even when you put your phone in your pocket. Yes, targeted market. My daughter was just talking about something. Pizza. Okay, pizza, yeah. And they'll just put on the iPad. See pizza. Say, daddy, see it on Jumia. I say, me. I'm not chopping pizza nowhere, man. You go to the kitchen and take some biscuits. No pizza. Pizza? What do you mean by pizza? Somebody's got to pay. Say, knowledge shall increase. So, you must understand that your edge over idols are information, revelation, that you know within yourself you've not released. Things that you know. So when somebody's misbehaving around you, you just smile because you know. When demons are talking through people, you know. Komo was talking to me. He didn't say, "Thus hear the Lord." He said, "But you know you can't come." Yeah, was I hoping that God would just say, "My son, for this purpose have I ordained you to go to Stanford and to do a revival or something." But somewhere in my heart, I knew it was premature. But Pastor David refused to tell me. My wife also encouraged me. And it's not like they are bad, you know. But Komo has no sentiment, you know. But you know, after he challenged me, and I said, "But Komo, you know where you are. You don't use generator. You don't use, you people don't have all these problems. You don't have potholes. You don't have all these problems we have in Nigeria. You're in the UK. Hey, you now laugh. Pastor me. I say, the voice has changed. So God has spoken, as far as that matter is concerned. Stanford, I love you. Stanford, God bless you. I ain't your candidate. I'm gone. So tomorrow, if I now come back and tell you, God said I should go. Just know, I've left Australia. I've left New Jersey. Sure, you people know now. New Jersey, now Stanford. The price you have paid to be on this path eventually determines the weight of glory that is committed to you. You see, when God is telling you to shut up certain things that you have received, maybe when you are meditating on the word, am I very clear at the back? When you are meditating on the word, you are praying, it is because that revelation is premature. If you discuss it then, it's like eating an unripe apple. You'll be admitted. You may die. This knowledge is not for this time. If you release it in captivity, they will mess it up. Just put it in codes. I don't understand. I just like what is straightforward. So please understand that one of the ways idols work is by knowledge. They gather information. That's why they're able to telemarket, target market you, teleguide you, telecontrol you, teleconfuse you. They do all kind of stuff because they have information. They know that this is you. And that's why there are certain temptations that never come to you because they have studied you. They know that's not your... It's not like you go and bring a cart of gouda now and what's that one people are drinking? And you put it in my house. Create challenge. Let's do create challenge. All the thing will break because I don't have taste for it. I've never tasted it in my life. You know, there are so many things I've never done in my life, like taking gouda or stout. One of my friends even tried to convince me. I said, difference between alcohol and beer. I said, you're in trouble, though. You even know the difference. Some guy in my office then said, no, this beer. He was now trying to use hand to point. I say, you have problem. You need deliverance. And you have a good name. Your name is a godly name, but you, the way you think. Say, this one is spirit. This one is alcohol. This one has, it starts showing me percentage. I say, what will I do with all these things? And that's the problem when you refuse to preach to people. They bring useless things to you. Say, I actually drink. Oh, pastor, I drink, but I don't get drunk. I'm coming to you. I'll get to you now. Now, one of the elements of unholy knowledge is pride. One of the elements of unholy knowledge is what? Is pride. Give me, I don't know if it's 1 Corinthians 8, 1. I'm not sure, but give me 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Aha, yeah, I'm right. Look at it. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Look at the same thing I was talking about knowledge again. The issue of idols is about people having too much knowledge. They begin to wave aside certain things, like they are not important. And Paul is saying, we know. We know that everybody has knowledge, but knowledge pops up. Knowledge makes a man proud. No. We know we are born by the spoken word. We have the life of God in us. It's not what goes into a man's belly that corrupts him, but that which comes from within, praise God. I feel the spirit. And then drink wine. So, Paul said we have knowledge. We have knowledge. If we want to justify this thing, we can justify it. We know the part of the Bible we will give to you. After all, our man of God married 900, is he 1,000? Our man of God married 1,000. Even his own father collected somebody's wife. Talking about David. They are our men of God. They are the man after God's heart. And he entered them. God has not changed. Hallelujah. God doesn't change. He's a straightforward guy. He didn't change. It was the covenant that changed. Say, those that must be pastors, they must be men of one wife. Say, pastors, me, I'm not planning to be a pastor. He said, we know we have knowledge. He said, but knowledge does what? Puffs up. What does love do? It builds up. It edifies. That means the solution to idols when dealing with strange knowledge is the revelation and understanding of God's love. I'm reading from that place. If a man is not established in the love of God, when strange knowledge begins to come, things that look like, okay, they are like inventions. They are new things. Things that are like, you know, like everybody is doing it now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody's doing it now. It's popular. The scripture says, let your moderation be known unto all men in all things. So people have something they wear for Sunday and they have something they wear for Tuesday. And they don't put it on Facebook. Win so you will not win. But you make yourself a tool in the hands of the enemy to destroy and distract other people. We know that Adam and Eve were walking naked in the garden, but that knowledge pops up. We know. Because the world is not the way it used to be. Say, but love edifies. Love considers his neighbor. Love says, this thing. Let me protect my brother. Let me protect my sister. It's not because you can't. But are you building or destroying? Say, love edifies. Love builds up. That's why people don't talk about sin anymore. That's why we can't protect ourselves, because we kept quiet on the issue of sin and we are all in bondage quietly. Now don't let me enter this message. Anyway, when you come for second service, I'll be talking to you about, if the Lord allows me, I'll be talking about prophetic perceptions, how to pick and interpret perceptions. So that one is a good, it's a good flavor. That one is strawberry. You know, this is chocolate. So you people are even smiling. I was ready that this Sunday we will not smile at ourselves, but I just said, this guy, you've traveled since. Let people be happy. Are you people not happy? You people are not appreciating me. You see the kind of Google messages I'm preaching. What is an idol? An idol is an image or representation. The word there is representation. That means it may not even be an image. It may be a representation of a god or something used as an object of worship. An object of worship or worship is something that you adore and you prove it by the allocation of time and resources. Come on now. I said worship is an expression of interest, something that you do. And you prove that worship by what? The allocation of time and what? And what? Resources. So you may, don't bother arguing if you have an idol or not. Just put these two conditions beside that item and see if it passes. Come on, say I refuse idols. Come on, say I refuse idols. Come on, say I refuse idols. No, forget. Now, don't forget that idols are our friends. There are things around us. There are things we allocate time to. I got this definition on the internet, or you can just Google it. It's there. This is not my definition. I just try to see what the world thinks about idols. The idea of a thing, an idol is the idea of a thing that takes away our focus and dependence on the Holy Spirit. An idol is something or the idea of a thing that takes away our focus and dependence on who? On the Holy Spirit. So just take this thing, put it beside all the items. Because some of you are saying, I'm not making progress in my business. Okay, take out all the major things going on in your life and measure them by this standard. You now realize that some of you, like Indians, you have 35 idols. You don't put them in your pocket, they're in your heart. I asked a lady, she's very spiritual. So she's not in a relationship. So I asked her that, what if you get into a relationship now? And the guy says, something needs to happen. You know, that for this relationship to be moving forward as we want it to move. She said, pastor is wrong. But, it could just happen. It could just happen. I said, I like you. Because you are sincere. That means your deliverance is not far. Some people now, thank God for us. Some people will now say, no, the word of God is there. And they will still do it. This one was honest. So I didn't have too much to pray about. There are people in the house of God who sincerely know that they cannot enter into any form of relationship without compromise. They know. They know. They don't know God's love, but they know this one. So this word that I'm sharing today, if you're in that category, don't raise your hand. It's for you. It's for you. So idols is the representation of something that takes away our focus from the Holy Spirit. Now, I've already explained to you that in that... give me verse 2 and 3 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 2 and 3. If any man think he knoweth anything, let him know that he does not know as nothing yet as he ought to know. Verse 3. But if any man, can you see again that God benchmarks love against knowledge? If any man says he loves God, the evidence of that love is revelation. God will reveal himself to that person. You will know God. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. You say, I love God. If you love God, you won't have emotions. So. It's not that one. That's for your boyfriend. God says the evidence of our love between us is that I will be giving you revelation. He said, the same is known of him. That means a man who loves God will know God. Come on now. It's not about crying and making yourself feel like you are spiritual because you can cry. Are you with me now? Come on, are you with me now? So don't let, if you are gifted in crying, cry. If you are gifted in rolling, roll. But God says the evidence that a man knows me is what? He will know me. 1 Corinthians 8:3. Post it on your status throughout this week. Some people will not post. Because this one will not give you money. Post this one. The evidence that a man knows God is that what? He will know God. God will open up himself. Come and know me. I want you to be close to me. God will take you from the parlor to the bedroom. Come and see my room. See my, this is my own kitchen. It's different from the other one. This is why I like my food hot. I don't eat, my food has to be either eba, or gari. But anything either hot or cold, I don't touch. You will not see why he is the way he is. Because the issue of idols is actually the issue of contention. Can you come? Pastor Tokwe, come. It's the issue of contention. Satan cannot come and struggle, but he will ensure his boys do it. Please hold his hand. Oh no, brother Tokwe, come. Now hold the other hand, Pastor Kenny. Now pull him. This is the ministry of idols. Baba, if you don't leave her now, when I see that God, that's God though. Me, I'm Satan. So when I see that, you know, the struggle is also because somewhere in the heart of my brother here, he likes this thing. The moment he no more likes this thing, whatever that thing is, that thing dies. So we love our sin. I don't know if somebody's hearing me now. We love our sin. Something about us just resonates. Abel, we have not finished. We need to drag this hand. You will take the other. I take this one. Is your wife around? So we are, this is the man of God that is trying to make a decision for Stanford. Or for Ada. Or for, how do you like, going to UK. You like UK. I think you like UK. So whatever that decision is, the decision is not the problem. It's just the fact that Baba has another intention. And that this other one, as good as it is, will short circuit you. And you will not reach your highest potential. That's the issue. God doesn't say no to good things, but he says no to premature things. That's the issue. Hey God, every time I pray, God will say no. Every time I pray, he say no. Is it this one? Say no. Is it that one? Say no. There are people that say no to some brothers, only to realize the brother after they married started moving forward. Because they were judging the brother by the way they looked at him then. Only for the brother to marry, bam, things started happening. He started picking up. His life started. That brother proposed to me. Because in the realm of the kingdom, we walk with the eyes of faith. Anything you see at this level, if that transaction is finished, you must see with the eyes of faith. So the reason why God is always having this struggle with us, 10 steps forward, 20 steps backward, is because there are things here that this man likes. And God is contending. And as long as the enemy finds something here that this guy likes, he will build those things around him as an edge. So every time he tries to cross over to God, as I'm talking now, some of you are remembering some of those things. Now God is on the other side wearing that suit. And he said, my son, I will help you. Say, God, you can always promise. You know, they talk straight. How, when? When? I've been praying. When? Wow. You say I should be patient. Baba, I'm 34. This patience thing is not my area. In my family, we don't have patience. You better do what you want to do now. Say, my son, be patient. Like that lady I warned then, that I told, don't marry this guy. And he's the only one that likes me the way I am. And the guy is your height too, like your height. She's in that bank. Eventually, she went to get pregnant for the guy. I said, the word of the Lord is, still don't marry him. Please, say thank you. Still don't marry. She said, think guys, like, you don't really understand. Kule loves me. Kule is passionate. I said, you are serving two different gods. In this kingdom, it doesn't work. Even Satan, know they like people where they look outside. You want to serve me, serve me. You know, I look like a fool. This was in the days of BlackBerry, BBM. I was still a banker. I wasn't pastoring nothing. But I said to her, I said, this is not the will of God. I mean, what do you want me to do? You know, it's just complicated. Unfortunately, God is not a white God. And he doesn't speak English. He speaks your language. If it was American, Nigerians or Yoruba people that went to evangelize America, the Bible will first of all have been preached to them in Yoruba. Are we together? The lady was at the end of the day. When she got pregnant, she had to marry the guy. They did all the arrangement. Less than 2 years, the guy died. She sent me a message. Benga, you warned me, you warned me. I said, hey, no, Mickey Lamo. Calm down. When God says no to you, you've got to trust him enough. That is the place of the love of God. When you come close to him, he will be showing you things. He will be exposing you to certain things so that the day he will tell you, don't go there. You will trust him enough because he has proved it by his word and by his experience, your experience with him, why you must always trust him. That's why God benchmark love with knowledge. It may feel good. It may feel right. But has he said anything? If he has not, stay where you are. And I dare say to you, this is why many times we pray. And it seems that there's no answer. Because the answer to your prayer is not go and succeed. The answer to your prayer is go back to the last conversation I had with you. But if you are not even keeping record, like this lady now, she's now forced to have with 2 or 3 children, but not married. Because she wanted to get off the market by force. According to her, when there was a direct instruction, don't do it. Secondly, loves me. Secondly, the one that loves me with my child. Loves me. He loves my child. He plays with him. He even calls him daddy. I say, daddy? Well, who's your own daddy? Then I wake up. You see, the issue of idol, is actually something that you will sit with God and you'll be ticking off the box. Because anywhere idols will take glory, God will not go there. Hello, listen to me. Since I came to Lagos, my dream in life has never been to live in this country. I'm telling you. Every time I dream, I see myself in other countries. I'm telling you. My dream. Hey, what's your purpose? What's your purpose in life? That's what they were telling us then. Every time I close my eyes, say, where do you see yourself? I see myself in Australia, Sydney, Australia. I see myself in the U.S. Ah, yes. That's a good dream. You will get there. Say, for I will estimate my work to perform it. Hallelujah. It's a good one. My skin, I always react. But last time I went to the U.S., I didn't react. I didn't have cold. You know, everything was just... Why must we do away with idols? Time is up. Write this down quickly. Because idols are subtle and can gain entrance into your life without your knowledge. Idols are subtle and they can gain entrance into your life without your knowledge. Number 2, idols are seductive. They provide instant answers without the requirement of consecration. Idols provide what? Instant answers. Follow me somewhere. Let's go and meet that man. Let's do something. Without any demand of consecration. No holiness. No nothing. No prayer. Only for it to enslave you later. Number 3. Idols can give you a resemblance of God, but it will deny God's power. It can give you a semblance of God, but deny God's power. Number 4. Idols, we must do away with idols because idols don't look evil. In fact, they are attractive. Their goal is to enslave your soul. Their goal is to enslave your soul. So when they say, ah, come to church now, you can't come to church because you've got this thing that started like an habit with your friend. You've got this thing that started like going out weekend to enjoy after Friday's work. You've got so many nice things that you can no more do without. So the contentions in your life are from things you permitted that started innocently. They will enslave your soul. There are people arguing about whether you pay tithe or not. Go and see how much people pay for one bottle of champagne. Or you think if I take you out, it's more thing I'll buy for you. Listen, the first time I bought cigarette for somebody, it was in a club. Cigarette, a lady. Some of you think you are bad. Yeah, you know where God picked us from. I didn't smoke, oh. The guy's from Port Harcourt. Ah, so I say this pastor. I'm telling you. Say, how come you don't smoke, you don't drink? I say, it's just not my thing. Wow. Guy that doesn't smoke or drink. Wow. Okay. What's that her name? I've forgotten, but I don't even want to remember. I'm telling you, this pastor, I was not the pastor of a church, but I was a Christian, very committed one. But she's my customer. And she likes me. All the terrible things in my life that I did, it was these people that took me there. I'm not joking. But because I had a soft spot for that lady, you understand? I didn't go there with the intention to buy cigarette. Just give it to her. Give it to her. They did, man. From one, they say, no, you can't sit today. Last night, you didn't take anything. Today, you have to take something. For you know, a pastor's mouth, and you know if it's your first time, there's a way that you'll be smelling your mouth. You will brush, it will not go. And because you're not an expert, you won't know what people are eating to remove the thing. So, you'll be smelling. Why, where are you coming from? Say, it is easy to get entangled. That's what I'm telling you. And it never starts with that agenda. It just starts like, we are girls, we are going out to have fun. That girl came to me the next day and she said to me, I'm disappointed in you. That same girl, I beg, Edith. Because sometimes we just talk. People say we are preaching. Yeah, let's scatter this thing. Let's see it. That when God, when I say my little children, do you know that my little children doesn't just mean children? It means if you are my child. So some things is not really about running. Structure your environment in a way that you won't be seeing some things. Did you hear that one? Structure your environment in a way that you will not be seeing some things. Say flee. Another one, you say what? Keep. Flee. Keep. Flee. Keep. You know any day you go to this boy's house, these are the kind of films you watch. You say, keep. How far are you not coming again? Something came up. Let something always come up. I still have a bit on this, but I'll stop. But believe me, this is an entire study. Are you with me? This is an entire study. So I came from Benin City to tell you, stay away from idols. Your idols are not those things in your father's village. They are your friends. They are things you love. There are things you appreciate. There are things that don't look so bad. But they are there and they have only one goal, to enslave your soul. The desire for money can enslave your soul. The desire to be married can enslave your soul. The desire just to change on. And please, may I tell you, it is not a sin not to be married. It's not a sin. It's not even a sin not to have children. It's what the African culture taught us. Come on, say, I choose righteousness. Now say, I choose God. Now say, I choose Jesus. Over my desires. Over my emotions. And over everything that appeals. Listen. You will not be able to, as we go into the second service, and it's going to be a totally different thing, but I'm going to ask the Lord if I should continue this message, because I think this generation needs it. Huh? They need it. I wanted to start writing books, but I never could make up my mind on why I should write books. Until one day I was talking to my son, Joshua, and then I found that my children need to be the reason why I write books. Because in their time, there won't be sound doctrine. What people just want is, I've got three things to say this morning. If you've got something in your spirit, if you've got the call of destiny. And I said, okay, I heard that part. But where is the foundation? Doctrines. Doctrine is the foundation. So I need to write for them. So when somebody is asking them, so I say, what did that? Like, daddy has something about this. I may not even be around then. They'll go and remove the book. This is what daddy said. So I'll write a book and say, this, the title of that book is, this is what my daddy said. These are the things your daddy believes. Chapter 1. Simple things. Don't argue. Follow it. If you don't follow it, I'll come back from my grave and pursue you. Come on, say I'm blessed. Come on, say I'm blessed. B'shem Adonai El Shaddai Rabboni B'shem Adonai El Shaddai El Elyon B'shem